No, it's Just Plane Radio.
Yeah.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I can fly.
Tame it to the pilot, tame it to the tamer, tame it to the pilot.
Brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
It's your lucky day.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
You got a plane.
Call Just Plane Radio toll-free now at 888-884-2FLY.
And the sky's the limit.
That's 888-884-2359.
Sir, I'd like you to take the helm, please.
I'd be glad to. Greg, your co-pilot. That is me along with Captain Ed. Well, Ed's not here yet. He hasn't received his flying car just yet, so he's running a little late because of traffic in the Orlando area, but he promises or threatens to join us before we finish out our virtual cruise through the latest aviation news and information. And to help me out with that in the meantime, I got Captain Dennis, who is a new plane owner. And if that weren't enough, I also got Tom Haynes from AOPA. Guys, how are you? Welcome.
I'm doing great. Great to be with you guys, Dennis and Greg.
Yeah, there's been a lot going on, especially with you, Tom. Mm-hmm. We've been covering Dennis's progress quite a bit because, you know, he bought my new plane for me. And,
he did. How nice of him.
He is one of the best friends anyone could have. Because,
well, I don't know. A true friend would have bought, like, a twin-engine turboprop, I got to say.
Well, okay. See?
Well, it wasn't for a lack of trying on his part.
Okay.
He was having me looking at Kodiaks and Caravans.
Okay. Caravan would suffice for his kind of flying. On floats, of course.
Yeah, yeah, you know, but you know, baby steps. I'll go with his Mooney for now. That's fine.
Okay.
And we've been covering that base pretty well here on the show recently, but we haven't talked to you, and there's been so much going on, especially legislatively in the aviation world. I know you have your fingers on the pulse of what's going on up in Washington, which I guess first we got to talk about the latest on ATC privatization. What are you hearing? What do you think?
Well, there, I think I'd rather have my hands around somebody's neck as opposed to my finger on the pulse.
Well,
but
yeah, you can monitor their blood flow up there around them too. Oh, sure. I'm just counting his heartbeats. That's what I'm doing.
Right. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. Now zero, we could let up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Right. It's really challenging times. You know, Congressman Schuster from Pennsylvania has introduced this legislation, FAA reauthorization bill, that includes privatization air traffic control. And for pilots, general aviation pilots in particular, that's just not gonna work. There's no place in the world where they've introduced privatized air traffic control that has been beneficial or even neutral to general aviation. It's always everywhere, 60 some countries, detrimental to general aviation for a variety of reasons. But even then, in the case of the United States, which is so much bigger than any place else from an air traffic control standpoint, it just doesn't make sense here for a variety of reasons, you know, forgetting about the general aviation part of the equation. But meanwhile, that legislation did pass out of committee a couple of weeks ago and is now probably going to be up for a vote next week, probably around Tuesday of next week is going to be up for a House vote. And here's why that's really scary. If it does pass the House, meanwhile, over in the Senate side, they've introduced reauthorization that does not include privatized air traffic control. And if that passes the Senate and these two bills go to conference committee, then we've really lost control, because really what comes out the other end of a conference committee, who knows? It could be some variation on privatization that is even worse than what's currently proposed. But if it comes out with any flavor of privatization, that's just bad for general aviation. So our real goal at the moment is to keep this from even reaching the floor for a vote. And if it does get to the floor, then obviously we want to get it defeated. So we've been really focusing on communication with pilots to get them to contact their member of Congress and oppose H.R. 2997. That's the bill number. And there are about 40 key legislators that we're really focusing on their districts and the members, pilots in their district, to contact those 40 key members of the Appropriations Committee, because they're ones that we believe, if we can keep them in the opposition camp with us, that we can maybe keep that thing from getting even to the floor for a vote. So.
Yeah. The aviation caucus, which is a pretty prominent force there up in Congress. I mean, have they made any official statement on this latest round of stuff going on, or is this just been kind of happening so fast no one's had a chance to respond in that regard?
Well, you know, as a caucus, they don't really put out opposition or statements. I mean, they are just individual members of Congress who have an interest in aviation or expressed interest and or support for aviation. The challenge there is that Congressman Graves, who is a member of the Transportation Infrastructure Committee, he is the co-chair of the GA caucus, and he and a GA pilot, and he's the one who has basically flipped on this. He was opposed to privatization last year when this bill got introduced, or similar bill got introduced. And now he has gone over and now is supporting privatization. And so that's causing confusion in the GA caucus, because many of the members of the caucus, while they have an interest in aviation, they're not in it every day. Most of them are not pilots. And so they're not very well versed in the nuances of this.
Right.
And so when somebody like Sam Graves comes out and says, hey, you know, this is a good thing and here's why, basically supporting, you know, Schuster's position, then the people look to him for guidance and leadership, and he's basically putting out a message that is not helpful to general aviation.
Well,
right,
why did he flip? I mean, did the airlines throw him 50,000 free miles or something? Or I mean, what's going
right.
on?
Right. I mean, it's hard to say. There was another former member of Congress that was quoted as saying that he did it because he's trying to position himself for chairmanship, because Schuster's chairmanship of the Transportation Infrastructure Committee is up at the end of this Congress, which would be the end of 2018, and that Sam is trying to position himself for that. I mean, that's some of the speculation going on. I'm not sure if that's factual or not, but it's hard to say. You know, a lot of politics going on. On the other side, the other co-chair of the GA caucus is Todd Rokita, also a Republican, but from Indiana, and also a pilot. And he is the only member of the Transportation Infrastructure Committee, the only Republican member, who opposed Schuster's bill. And he's really stood up for general aviation. And so he's trying to get the message out to the GA caucus as well to remind them that this is such a bad deal for general aviation. Meanwhile, of course, our advocacy folks, our legislative affairs team in D.C. and also the other organizations have been, you know, literally on the Hill every day for the last 2 weeks. That they've been in session this week and the week before. Visiting all these members of the GA caucus and other key legislators, you know, door to door, reminding them about why this is a bad deal for general aviation.
Yeah. And you know, I think, was that the guy too, by the way, the congressman you just mentioned, was he the one who made the comparison to truckers taking over the interstates?
Yeah, Todd Rokita. Yeah.
And I thought that was a good analogy because, yeah, we wouldn't let truckers take over the interstates or tolls.
Right.
And if they did, obviously they're going to, you know, do what they can to maximize the effectiveness for trucking across U.S. highways. It'd be the same thing if the commercial airlines took over the airwaves. They're not going to, you know, look out for us little guys.
That's what privatization is all about. The only entities that are really in favor of privatization are the airlines and sort of their alliance or their affiliates, if will, their will, their unions, and the air traffic controllers, and they're looking out for themselves too, which who can blame them? Mm-hmm. And then even then, the concern about the board structure of what this nonprofit entity that would own air traffic control would look like is that, you know, you got the airlines having three seats, I guess it is, the union having one, and the controllers having one. So between that and then the airports would have one, and they would that would probably be dominated by a large airline airport. So once again, they would align themselves more with the airlines.
Right.
And so that leaves general aviation and business aviation, which each gets a seat, on the back side of this thing and not able to get things accomplished that are important to GA and potentially get overridden in things. So it's a real danger that the airlines are going to take over, and it's going to lead to increased costs. And no matter what else people are saying, we've seen it in other countries. We've seen the privatized system in Canada almost fail, and they had to have a public bailout of using taxpayer money. In the UK, they did go bankrupt, and that had to be bailed out using taxpayer money. You know, so it's a too big to fail situation, and it has to be and propped up with taxpayer money. Mm-hmm. And the other parts of it, or we're turning over, you know, this national assets of the air traffic system to this nonprofit corporation and for free. And then it's going to cost somewhere between, this is the CBO, the Congressional Budget Office itself, estimating that it's going to cost between $20 and $46 billion just to implement the transition. Think what we could do with $20 to $40 billion to improve the aviation infrastructure in this country. I mean, we all agree that the FAA is not perfect. However, the air traffic control system is pretty darn good. And we have some infrastructure needs, and we can certainly enhance the technology of our air traffic system. But it is the largest, most complex, and safest in the world, and also the most efficient. Our controllers handle more operations than any place else in the world, and they do it at a cost that is cheaper than Canada by about 8 cents a mile. And that's the one that model that everybody looks to is Canada. It's
well,
a fraction of the size of the U.S.
I am sold. You have my vote, but I'm not in Congress, so we got to figure out a way to convince those weasels to consider our rights as pilots. We got more coming up on Just Plane Radio. Stay close.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Imagine traveling twice as fast as you can drive. Imagine taking friends and family snorkeling, surfing, skiing, shopping, and more to exotic destinations. Imagine attending business meetings in cities far away and still making it home at night. Or just imagine exploring the wild blue yonder.
Quit dreaming about it and get to it. There has never been a better time to become a private pilot, and flight training professionals in Orlando will show you how. Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is your full-service flight school. A state-of-the-art flight simulator, a fleet of the latest Cessna aircraft, and a staff of full-time seasoned flight instructors are just a few of the many reasons Flight Training Professionals in Orlando is the place to start your aviation adventure. Call 407-896-0077. That's 407-896-0077. Or go to ftpros.com. That's ftpros.com.
Whether you're a flight student, an experienced pilot, or simply an aviation enthusiast, there is a place for you as a member of the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association. Join AOPA to get the latest general aviation news, safety resources, and technical support you need to sharpen your skills and become a central part of the nation's vibrant general aviation community. Learn more about becoming a member at AOPA.org. That's AOPA.org.
As pilots, it's all about the journey. But sometimes situations arise that can turn an adventure into a nightmare. Do what divers do. Join DAN, Divers Alert Network. The many benefits of a DAN membership go way beyond water activities. As a DAN member, you automatically receive DAN Travel Assist and up to $100,000 of evacuation assistance coverage. This applies to both diving and non-diving medical emergencies. Dive into DAN.org for details. DAN, your Dive Safety Association.
You are now clear for takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I gave Willie the greatest gift of all.
Chase, you sure about this?
The gift of flight.
What could go wrong?
A lot could go wrong.
I mean, you're strapped in.
I'm aware I'm strapped in.
Enjoy the ride, man.
You got it, baby.
I don't know. This something doesn't feel right.
Put him in orbit.
When I die, hallelujah, by and by, I'll fly away. I'm gonna fly away. I'm gonna fly away someday.
Let's fly.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg and co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed. Well, no, he's still not here. He's running a little late. And, you know, I could really use his help today because I was on vacation last week, and I'm a little rusty. And, you know, I could use my flight instructor with me to, you know, get through some of the bumps and the turbulence that I'm dealing with. You know, I was in Pigeon Forge last week on summer vacation, hanging out with, like, those Duck Dynasty guys. And Dolly Parton.
Okay. How is she?
She's swell. She is doing well. I tried to make her a diver. She's probably already flying stuff because she, you know, has more money than God. But I was hanging out in Dollywood. And it would have been nice if I would have had a plane with me there because the traffic was worse than what we even have in Orlando over the 4th of July thing. You know, and obviously Ed needs it today because he couldn't get to the studio in time. And I'm just wondering what is going to be the solution until we get these flying cars. What are we going to do, Tom? What do you think?
Well, I think we should all order the Octocopter, the Surefly Octocopter.
The Surefly? Is that what it's called?
Surefly, that's what it's called.
Okay, so yeah, we were talking about that a couple weeks ago. I think it made its debut at the Paris Air Show, and it's kind of like a helicopter that's like a hybrid between a helicopter and a quadcopter or a drone. And it looks like I could even fly this thing.
I mean, there's a question about whether I saw an interview with the guy who designed it, and there's a question about what's the FAA going to require of them from a piloting standpoint. And his only comment was, well, we're going to try to keep it light. So I don't know whether that, does that mean light sport or what does that mean, or a Part 107 drone certificate. It's a little unclear, but does look pretty interesting, though. So you could use that, Greg, to get from your house to the airport where you get in Dennis's Mooney and then go fly to your destination.
But I love the idea because it also collapses down and can fit in your garage. And but you know, I would imagine the AOPA drone certificate would, it would count. You wouldn't even need a pilot's license for this. You just need that drone thing that you already have, Dennis, right? You went through that program.
I went through that program, but I don't remember anywhere in there saying anything about being man-rated. So I'm just curious about that, you know.
Details.
Yeah.
We'll work that out.
Yeah,
just don't ask. Just
not
do
a big
it, right?
deal. Hey, look, but Ed just showed up. Ed is here with us now. Ed, how are you, buddy?
I'm good. All I walked into here was Greg saying even he could fly that, and I just have a big question mark. I have no idea what we're talking about.
Well, they sure fly that quadcopter thing we were talking about.
A kite? Yeah, I'm not even sure about that.
Well, you know, it uses a joystick. If you can fly a drone, you can fly yourself in this thing.
Uh-huh.
It's made by Tom. Who's it? Is it Boeing? Is that what it was? Or Airbus? Which one?
Well, this particular one, I forget the name of the company, but it wasn't somebody I was familiar with.
Oh, really? Okay.
Workhorse or something like that. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe it's a different one. I don't know. I mean, but I saw it at the Paris Air Show, at least a video of it, and they're going to have it at Air Venture here in a couple weeks. Is that the deal?
They are.
So is that one of the buzz items that has been making a lot of news, or at least popping up on your radar, I assume? Is that right?
That's what I've seen. One of the things I saw pop up this week. Should be lots of other good stuff at AirVenture in a couple weeks as well.
Well, that'd be pretty cool, though. I mean, you know, having the drone tent is one thing, or the cage, you know, that they have where they put all the drones in this, like a batting cage and let them fly like crazy, and, you know, but they're caged up there so they don't fly into stuff, I guess. Maybe put one of these things in there. Hey, I need two volunteers.
It's the Midway ride.
Yeah, there you go. Exactly.
It's just like a Carnival.
It's like an e-ticket or something from back in the day. Yeah, you can add that attraction over at AirVenture this year. But, Ed, welcome. Welcome
Thank
to
you.
The party. As late as you are, but that's fine. See, you need one to deal with the traffic. You could
Yes,
just
actually today
up.
That would have been perfect to get from the airport here.
Yeah.
Actually, what I was thinking on the way over is, you know, you just need to put your studio out at the airport so I have the same commute you have every day. Or I could just walk in when it's time.
You want to sleep at your airport? Well, that doesn't sound very appealing.
Actually, that sounds fine.
No, you don't.
I want a house at the airport.
Your lodging accommodations are not adequate from what I've seen. But yeah, who knows? We can hook that up easy enough. We're high tech. Look, we got Tom at AOPA. He's at headquarters. Dennis is up in Minnesota hanging with his new plane, Lucy.
Yeah. I was trying to get you to have a real job and actually leave the house every day.
Oh, listen.
Your wife is paying me generously to make this happen.
Yeah, well, of course. I mean, yeah, I have to have something to occupy my time so she gets a break. I understand that. That's a fair trade. By the way, I don't know if this is news to you, Tom, but Dennis has named his plane Dory. That's the Do you name your plane? Do you have a name for your plane?
I don't. People ask me that sometimes, and I don't. I just refer to it as the, you know, old girl. Basically, as I'm patting it on the nose as I walk by,
uh-huh.
Old girl.
Okay. Why is that?
No.
Why, I mean,
I don't
I'm,
know.
I'm surprised. Like boats. You know, there's a boating name you have to have on your boat.
Mm-hmm.
Why don't
no,
we
of
have
course.
That for planes?
Well, some people do.
Well, they do. I mean, look at the airliners. A lot of them are named after cities, you know, the city of Seattle, city,
right,
you know,
right.
whatever. So they tend to do that. I did it more as a joke because I named it the same as my wife because she doesn't enjoy flying like I do. And so at least I can tell everybody I went flying with Dory last night.
Smart man.
Yeah, really.
Yes. Yeah, yeah. I could see that creating problems if he would have named it something else.
Yeah.
Well,
Trixie.
Yeah.
You know, yeah. But so it's
not Dory the Explorer.
No, Dory Explorer, like the fish, and we even found a graphic for the sign of the plane now.
Yeah. So yeah, I mean, so as soon as it flies over water, that's a bad sign, probably. I don't know.
Just keep swimming.
Okay. Yeah. All right. That could be. All right. Well, we've covered the ATC base pretty well. We've talked about this new helicopter thing or quadcopter. I mean, what is that called, by the way? What would you call this thing, Tom? Would you call
it an octocopter? It's got eight little motors on it. It's got four basic kind of an X-wing on it with a motor on the top of each of the points and then a motor on the bottom of each of the points.
Yeah.
And you could lose, I don't know, two or three of the motors at any one time, and it'll continue to fly. And then it's got a battery backup so that if your primary batteries fail for some reason, it's got backup batteries. So
yeah, it's electric.
At least get you safely to ground. It's all electric, of course.
Yeah,
cool.
Yeah, how about it? So that'll be fun. Are they going to fly that next at AirVenture?
I didn't hear that they were going to fly it, but they're going to have it there, and the designer is going to be there, so we're probably going to catch up with him for a video interview.
All right. Well, that'll be interesting to see. So, yeah, Tom will cover that base for us. Dennis is going to be at AirVenture here in a couple weeks. And
excellent.
Jim and Deb will be out there on site and covering some base. You're not going, right, Ed?
No.
So he's not going because I'm not going, but I have an excuse. I'm going to catch lobster for us. Or, well, let me rephrase it.
Yeah, well, I mean, I doubt we're going to see any of that lobster.
True.
I doubt he's going to catch any unless he goes away.
Oh, now don't you start with me.
See, Dennis can call you on that. I can't.
Yeah, of course you can't. And it wouldn't do any good anyway because I'm going to eat that lobster that I catch.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I have an excuse. I don't know what your excuse is. You're going to have to come up with a good one.
It's called work.
Oh, that's a four-letter word. You're not allowed to use that. Don't make me hit the dump button. More coming up.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
I've been up around the stratosphere at 31,000 feet. I'm going to fly on out of here on wings that you can't see. If you're gonna fly high without fear, you're gonna have to learn to love the atmosphere, and you gotta learn to use those wings you can't see.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, that's me, along with Captain Ed. We've added, we're adjusted our weight and balance, and we're good to go with myself, Captain Ed, Dennis, and Tom Haynes, also from AOPA. So we're safe now, I think. We're balanced out better. With the three guys, I felt a little off balance. I gotta say, it was forcing me to look at doing a.
Don't you
around.
Feel that way when you're by yourself?
Well,
too?
True. I'm usually off all the time, but I digress. Let's talk about another cool story that happened while I was on summer vacation, and that is they found out that Amelia Earhart lived through her crash. Supposedly, you know, they thought she went down. You know, in the Pacific back in the day, and now there's been some new History Channel special, I guess just aired this past weekend. I didn't see it.
Yeah, I didn't get to see it either.
But I saw the news things.
And there was something on the Today program, I think it was Monday morning.
Yeah, and so there's a photo out there that they say they have, you know, that shows that she was alive after the crash and her co-pilot and this kind of thing. I looked at the picture. I'm like, okay, I don't know, maybe. But
somebody's got a good imagination.
Yeah. Well, then I saw they were making it a big show. I did not watch the show, but they were making out this big show on the History Channel, and it looked like it was done, like it was being thrown out there, like from the same company that put out the, you know, mermaids are real, or the return of Megalodon. We have exclusive footage, and I'm like, wait a minute. Red flags going off. I mean, what are you hearing, Tom? You think it's true or it's a hose?
Well, I mean, it sure seemed like a big stretch. And then just today I was reading about, somebody debunked it already and claiming that the photo was actually first published in a Japanese travel guide in 1935, which was two years ahead of when she crashed.
Wow. Hmm.
So when you look at the photo that's in the book, the pamphlet, and then you look at the photo that they're promoting, it's clearly the same photo. Yeah. And then somebody else has identified the boat, that it's not even the same boat they said it was.
Well, hey, don't let the truth get in the way of a good story.
That's right.
Or ratings when it comes to the History Channel. I haven't watched anything on that channel for years, so maybe they needed to do something. Can't blame them, I guess.
Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Takeoff with Just Plane Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Colonel, with all due respect, that new jet is a death trap.
It's the 1950s. Everything's a death trap. Now have three martinis, a pack of smokes, and get in that plane.
This is Just Plane Radio. Greg, your co-pilot, Captain Ed, Dennis, and Tom Haynes from AOPA is with us today as well. And, you know, we're just navigating the latest aviation news and information after my summer vacation in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee.
Well, did you? I haven't been here. Did you see Dolly?
I said that I was hanging by her, but her security detail wouldn't let me get, you know, within a certain distance. Okay. I left that part out, but okay, that's the truth. Yeah. But regardless, I did hit a few moonshine stills.
Ooh.
Yeah. Yeah, I had moonshine tasting and redneck wine tasting. It was a good time. I wasn't flying, so you were safe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, but, it was a good time.
You're not flying.
Yeah, well, I my plan is, you know, as I had my big dive trip a few weeks ago.
Yep.
I'm going to dive through the summer and do some stuff, and at the end of summer, we'll talk about getting back in the cockpit, right? What are you laughing for?
That's Dennis, do you have anything to say about that? Usually chime in at this point.
You know,
I didn't say I was going to.
You know, we've been saying this for how long? I mean,
no, hold on. Dennis has a new plane. I'm going to be in the cockpit with his new plane, flying as his co-pilot.
You're going to wind up in the back seat because my kid will at least have a pilot's license.
I don't care. As long as you get me there, it will be fine. But no, it'll happen.
Definitely the definition of parasite drag.
Yeah.
Greg in the back seat of your airplane.
Maybe. All right. So there were a couple little things that came across my desk, though, when I got back in the office here. And one of them was a heads-up display for general aviation. And I was like, hey, that's almost as cool as a flying car or a quadcopter drone or something at AirVenture. So, and I saw it on AOPA Live, you know, Tom's thing that they do a couple weeks ago, I think. You guys had this. So what is this? What is going on with this heads-up display, Tom?
Well, it's pretty unusual. It's a portable head-up display, which there's a couple of these lower-cost GA kind of head-up displays in development, but this is the first one to have gotten this far, and it's about $2,000 from a company called Epic Optics, and basically it takes the information from the Avidyne iPad app, which is sucking attitude information from their primary navigation system, and then displays that on a piece of glass that sits up in front of you in the windshield, and you look through it. So it's projecting information onto this piece of glass called a combiner that has your attitude information, airspeed, altitude, your like a mini directional gyro kind of thing, all the primary information you need to safely fly the airplane, projection in front of you at an infinity. So you can look out the window through this combiner and be looking around per normal and see traffic and terrain and weather and all that kind of stuff, but still have all the information you need to fly the airplane. And it's all for about $2,000 and it's portable. You can move it around to different airplanes. And so it sounds pretty clever. We'll see how far they can take this thing.
Now, you actually did the, you know, the real heads-up display with the military. I remember seeing that, a year ago or something you flew, and you did one of these helmet things where you had all this stuff.
Right. Yeah, that was the F-35 helmet.
Yes.
Which is obviously way more sophisticated.
A little
and
more
expensive,
high-tech.
Like $100,000 a piece.
Right.
But, yeah, that's pretty amazing. That thing leverages cameras. So when you look around, you're actually seeing a projected image from the camera around the F-35. And this system I'm talking about basically just takes data and presents that in front of you. However, they are talking already as an upgrade later down the road is that it could potentially take a feed from an infrared camera also put that up on the combiner, so you would have that information, so you would see the real outside world and potentially enhanced vision because of its ability to see through light, fog, and smoke and that kind of thing.
Oh, nice. That's cool.
That is pretty sweet. I mean, I saw the video, and yeah, it's fairly basic, but the information it had on the heads-up display was kind of like watching a video game. You know, yeah, like one of the flying games.
The military and have been using this technology for years. It's
right.
Nice that
sure.
It's getting to be, you know, with everything technological, the costs are coming down to where the average pilot can afford it.
The average Craig.
No, you still can
afford
true.
It. That's
you
still
need Keith's credit
I'm
card for that.
Yeah. Well,
how much
yeah,
longer until we can just put an iPad in as a replacement for our traditional six-pack?
Yeah,
it seems
yep.
like the iPad is driving everything right now. It's driving the heads-up. It's driving your movie maps. Why don't we just get the middleman out?
Yeah, Tom, you heard anything on that front, maybe?
Well, I've seen it. I've seen that in play in experimental airplanes where they literally are Velcroing an iPad running, you know, ForeFlight or Garmin Pilot or one of these apps that has attitude information available to it, and you literally Velcro it on the panel in front of you, and that becomes your essentially your primary flight display in an experimental airplane. Not going to work in your production airplane.
Yeah. I know that eye level... I know eye level has been working a lot with the home built because they're even integrating some of their sending units that to display on the iPad that actually are taking engine information, so your tachometer will be on there, everything will be on there. And they've been doing that with hopes to eventually get that into certified airplanes.
Yeah,
but that's,
with hope.
It's a big stretch.
Wow. Well, Level's got that ADS-B beacon, and that they've got. I'm hoping that they're going to announce that that's going to be available at Oshkosh, but they're predicting, you know, $1,000 ADS-B out solution that's self-contained. That's going to be a big game changer there, because otherwise, the next cheapest is what, $3,000 from Garmin or from Stratus.
Yeah.
I don't think it's that much.
Company.
Is it $3,000? I thought it was less than that.
No, that's about right.
Okay.
The Stratus ESG. In fact, I just talked to an engineer from Stratus. He happened to fly into the airport the other night with his Mooney. So we were comparing notes and checking it out. Looks like a very nice piece of kit. But, you know, $3,000 for a complete transponder with ADS-B out and a GPS position source. Mm-hmm. Garmin's matching that price with their 335 solution as well. But that's still a big chunk. If you can get this beacon from Level and it's a single antenna in the belly of your plane for $1,000, own the ADS-B market.
They will.
If they can get it approved.
Yep.
And then get it approved. But we've seen a lot of other non-TSO equipment like that become available in the last year. You know, Garmin's got the G5 now is approved as a non-TSO product as an attitude indicator and an HSI.
Yeah, it's great.
You know, Dynon's got a couple of products approved. We're going to see these two new autopilots probably get their STCs before Oshkosh from TrueTrack and from Trio. And so that's going to be some pretty neat stuff out there, and it's all non-TSO'd. So there is a pathway being developed where things like the Level product could find its way through that same process and become available for certified airplanes.
Yeah.
Cool.
Well, you know, is this one of those things that kind of goes back to ATC privatization, though, or the funding bill, where, if the FAA could get this stuff approved quicker, all this talk about having to renovate it and do all this stuff, isn't that part of this as well? Or is this all about modernization of the airports and the air traffic control system?
Well, the privatization really is...
Yeah, the privatization is only going to be affecting the air traffic controllers and clearances and traffic. The safety piece of it, the certification standards, I don't believe there's going to be any changes to that. Right, Tom?
Yeah, that's correct. The regulatory side of the FAA is really not going to be impacted by it. However, you know, our point is in opposing privatization is that there's a lot that can be done to modify the way the FAA operates, needs to be done, that can make it a lot more efficient. We can get rid of this idea of all these funding shortfalls and give them a much better funding planning process that can allow them to do better infrastructure planning. And at the same time, we can be effective in freeing up resources to allow them to change the regulatory process, which is what this non-TSO stuff is all about, is that they've been willing to modify their certification policies to allow things in certified airplanes that wouldn't be allowed. So anyway, they're on a path. They're doing good work. If we could get them less distracted by privatization and free up some resources to get them to reduce regulations, I think we'd have a winning hand on it.
Yeah. Well, I don't know. It's wishful thinking in some ways, I think, hoping that they'll move quicker. But they'll never be able to move quick enough for us, I don't think. Because we're like on the cutting edge of technology constantly. Where's our flying car already? You know, that kind of stuff.
Just look at the cockpit and the challenges we have today, though. How many pilots are flying with an iPad or some sort of an EFB? Well, they all need power. How do you power your iPad in flight? You know, every airplane's got a cigarette lighter socket. Well, those little adapters aren't real reliable. They wiggle out. So, you know, the innovative companies are coming up with a solution for a certified USB ports at $300. Mm-hmm. I can go to the local West Marine and buy a two-port USB cigarette lighter adapter for $30. Why do I have to pay $300?
Because it's certified.
Somebody's got to make a buck. Might as well be them, I guess. More coming up.
Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Be an explorer in the other two-thirds of your world. Be the buddy who takes the kids in the aquarium instead of just to it. Be adventurous. Be amazed. Be a diver.
For nearly 75 years, the Aircraft Owners and Pilots Association has been a beacon for those who cherish the freedom to fly. AOPA protects your rights as a pilot by fighting airspace restrictions, fuel taxes, user fees, airport closings, and other issues that threaten your ability to take to the sky. AOPA is on the front lines every day to ensure that general aviation and the interests of its members are promoted and safeguarded. Learn more about how you can become a member at AOPA.org.
Who's your buddy? Is he your pal? Well, I'm Greg the Dive Master, and I'll explain how we use the buddy system in diving next.
This scuba tip is brought to you by DAN, Divers Alert Network. DAN helps divers in need of medical emergency assistance with the DAN hotline and is the most recognized and trusted organization worldwide in the fields of dive safety and emergency services, health, research, and education. Join DAN today by going to DAN.org. DAN, your dive safety association.
For many, scuba diving is a social sport, but that's only one reason we use the buddy system. Ideally, dive buddies are evenly matched in skill level and can assist each other if necessary. They're not a crutch to lean on, but a backup system that, if used properly, can make your dive safer and more enjoyable. And if you're diving right, your buddy will likely end up being your pal, too. Dive into dan.org for more info and to Scuba Radio to get the urge to submerge. Scuba Radio.
Takeoff with Just Plain Radio, the show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Everybody on every plane should just constantly be going, oh my God! Wow! Yes! You're sitting in a chair in the sky.
Yes. Yes. Come on and fly.
Place, because this is Just Plain Radio. Greg, your co-pilot. That's me along with Captain Ed and Dennis, and our special guest right now, AOPA's Tom Haynes, who is, are you excited about AirVenture, the Woodstock of aviation here in a couple weeks, Tom? Or is this kind of one of those things where you're like, oh, geez, not again?
I've lost track of how many this is for me, but it's, 27, 26, 28, I don't know.
That's a lot of cheese curds.
That is a lot of cheese curds and brats.
And brats.
Oh, yeah. Brats. Mm-hmm.
And yes, I'm excited to be there for the first 4 days or so. But the final 3 days, it does get to be a little bit of a long week, I got to tell you. But yeah, it'll be fun. We'll have a good time.
Yeah, foot massages.
I like that.
Yeah, that's one way to get over them. But anyway, okay, so There's a lot of stuff going on that you're covering. You're going to be focused on at AirVenture. You can go to the AOPA tent and check up. And I know one of them is the latest on basic med.
Mm-hmm.
And how many people have already went through this program? It's crazy numbers, isn't it?
Yeah, it's over 12,000 pilots.
Wow.
Since May 1st.
That's awesome.
Have been through this process, which is kind of a revised way, a different way of getting your medical certificate or medical approval. And so, over 12,000. It's pretty amazing. We've been really blown away about how effective it's been. And Dennis, you've been through it. Talk about
that. I was impressed at how easy the process was. I mean, the AOPA has done a very great job of lining up all of the required documentation, the training course, and everything. So I went through the initial assessment, made an appointment with my doctor. They recommended you send him this couple-page PDF so that he knows what to expect during the exam. And the doctor even acknowledged that night, yep, I got it, no problem, we'll go through this during your physical. I showed up for just a routine physical with my family doctor that I've been seeing for years and came out with a clean bill of health. He signed the form, and I was done.
Wonderful.
Wow. Nice.
That's great.
That's
the way it's supposed to work.
Yeah. Well, over 12,000 people already been through this program. I would imagine that's higher than what most people expected. Or did they have any projections or ideas of what they, how effective this program was going to be? Or do you know, Tom?
I don't think anybody really had any projections because there hasn't been any kind of significant change to the third class medical process since 1961, literally.
Wow.
There was no history for what might happen if we made a significant change in the way the pilots go about getting a medical certification. So, no, we were hopeful that it would be really successful, and I think it's been successful. There's a few challenges. Some people are having a little difficulty finding a physician who would do the exam, but clearly when 12,000 people have managed to find somebody, it's possible. So you may have to look around a little bit, but a lot of people have to travel to go to an AME, particularly out west in less populated areas. They're traveling long distance to find an AME, and now at least their family physician is probably nearer by, and they can go to that person instead of going all the way to an AME.
Yeah. Right on. Yeah, we just got to figure out a way to incorporate heart surgery into basic med so I don't have to jump through all these hoops and I might have to. Towards the end of the summer, because I'm going to have to get a special issuance for this, aren't I?
Right.
Yep.
But you're going to have to do it only once. Prior to this, you'd have to do it for probably at least five years in a row. They would want to look at you. And now you're going to have to do it one time, and that's it.
One hoop. All right, I can do that.
Yeah, that's good. Hey, question, Tom, and this just was brought up to me today. It's actually part of the reason I was late, because the instructor was asking this question. He's got a customer that got a current medical / student pilot certificate that he got in 2013. As a medical and a student pilot certificate, it's going to expire next March. And if he doesn't complete his training, then let's say we go out and we get the plastic student pilot certificate, we don't go out and get his certificate done for them by some reason. Would he be able to get certified under basic med before he gets his private pilot flight test? He's had one. He had one during training, but he didn't have it at the point of certification. And I hadn't really had the time to go look and see in detail. But have you heard anything, questions asked like that?
No, not that one in particular. So you could call the guys who man our 800 line at AOPA probably could answer that. But my guess is if he's had a third class medical, even as a student pilot, and even if he didn't yet complete and it expires before he completes, I would think that would mean that he could qualify.
Yeah, there's no requirement that you have to have a pilot's license. It just says that you have to have had a third class physical the last 10 years. And so he would just need to go through the process, make an appointment with his doctor, have the physical, and get the doctor to sign it off, and go through the training class, and boom, you're done.
Yeah.
You now have basic med now for your medical.
We know for a fact, and it will work for, say, adding an instrument rating and any other rating that requires a third class medical. So I don't see why it shouldn't. but just I'm gonna I'll give them a call and pose the question and see if I can stump them, and and if not, and I'm sure if I stump them, they'll run it up to FAA to get an interpretation.
They will, and then they'll add it to our FAQs, and other people will benefit from your questions. So.
Yeah.
Do you get a free T-shirt or hat or something for stumping the chump if they don't have the answer?
If that was the case, I'd get a free shirt and hat every time I came here.
Oh, wait a minute.
Hey.
He throws those things out at me, so I got to take the shot.
You just can't resist.
I got to take the shot.
It's just not right. You could have been a little later today. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, I don't have to come at all.
Well, when you bring material like that,
I'll send Keith next time.
Oh,
okay?
True, that's right.
That'd be worse.
Well, I think you guys trade off because either one of you can't take it more than 2 weeks in a row, right?
No, it's hard to get away from work.
Oh well, that makes me feel much better.
Yeah, right.
Not really. And on that note, we'll end it. Till next time, remember there is no better high
than learning to fly.
Just Plane Radio is brought to you by JustPlaneRadio.com.
I say we take off and nuke the entire site from orbit.
Your aviation resource on the information super skyway.
It's the only way to be sure.
Just Plane Radio is a production of Overboard Entertainment Incorporated.
But just plain wrong.
Remember, you can listen live or to archives of past shows worldwide over the internet at JustPlaneRadio.com.
I'm going to leave my people up to the radio tower.
So tell a friend and take off every week with Just Plane Radio.
And I'm going to make a call.
The show devoted exclusively to flying and the aviation lifestyle.
Listen up, everybody. Hi, some news.
The opinions you just heard on Just Plane Radio are those of the hosts, callers, and guests.
We are screwed.
They are not necessarily those of any station or network, its management, or advertisers.
A little too far. Cross the line.
There are many factors to consider before learning to fly.
What is your problem?
So make sure you do your own research and get the proper instruction before your exploration into aviation.
Thank you very much, sir.
Have any questions or comments? Feel free to do so via the web at JustPlaneRadio.com.